This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
James Harden still hasn't talked yet with the with the media in Houston.
They're giving him his space.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like,
Steven Silas is like, I'm just going to give him some space.
What do you mean some space?
I just want for your chance, man.
You got a week till preseason begins, and you got a less than, what do you got, 3 weeks till the regular season starts? I'm going to give him some space.
Just going to give him some space.
No, like, you're the new head coach, and you're not, if you're not trading him, I'm on top. Like, he, oh my God. I don't even know what words to use right now. I just, all I know is that this is the most bizarre thing ever. We're going to give him some space. You don't have time for space.
Right. Need to be up in his grizzly right now. Like, yeah, what do you want to do? What are you going to do?
Well, you just need to, like, you just need to figure it out. Like, where are you? Where are you mentally? What do you, and if he says, I just want space, then I'm like, we can need to move this dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this story, right? This story will get out. They want to trade him. The owner doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, it hasn't gotten out. This is it's going to be the story. Tillman Fertitta does not want to trade him because he's afraid of losing a star that obviously will bring you money. A star is critical to your team. It helps you still sell things. It helps you still have corporate sponsorships because they lost a ton of money last year over all that controversy. So they need him on that team, and Tillman will not let them trade him. He wants to be traded. They would be willing to trade him. They probably could get some great return for him.
They want a star, though. He wants a star. Well, you're saying nobody, they want a star back. Nobody's going to give a star.
Nobody's giving him a star.
Nobody's going to go star for star. So that's
not a quality star.
Right.
Well, quality star. What star at his level are you getting?
Give him Porzingis. I'm just,
by the way,
just
saying, another training camp, Porzingis is not available.
Wow.
He should be able to play at some point this season.
He's had another knee surgery. Right on the opposite knee, right?
The other knee, yeah, meniscus, yeah. So he will not be available for the start of the season for the Mavs.
I mean, I know we want to bang in the Knicks for getting rid of him, but he just looks like a
guy. It's still a bad trade. I don't care. It's still a bad trade. But I'm just saying, as far as him, he's becoming now that concern of his durability. So that's a bit of a concern. But still, the Harden stuff to me is just, it's kind of funny because it's obvious what's going to happen. It's obvious what he wants to happen. But this is an owner that's saying basically, like, this ain't happening because it will ruin my franchise. And he's not wrong.
Yeah,
he's not wrong. I'm sorry. You know, for you to say Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, those are two really good players, and you send them to the Rockets, and they've got Christian Wood, and now they've got John Wall, and they've got DeMarcus Cousins. That could be a competitive team. And if you're Tillman Fertitta, like, it still ain't what we had.
Exactly.
I don't want that.
The little engines that could.
Yeah. Now you're just a run of the mill team.
You got to go sign Van Gundy so he can be your star.
Yeah.
Your coach has to be your star.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that's true. So I'm telling everybody, keep an eye on that situation. It's not something that's going to go away. It's not going to. They'll probably put on the right face about it eventually. Where, no, I want to be here. All that stuff. He doesn't want to be there, and they've got to get to a point where the owner either is happy with whatever's being offered for him, or it understands, okay, I've got to move on from this guy. But that's not going to be that's not a situation that's going away anytime soon.
Yeah, because you got to tell him. You got to tell him that, hey, you're going to lose him for nothing, because until he, you know, signs that $50 million extension, you have no security that he's going to be here.
Who, Harden?
Yeah. They remember they offered him that extension for 50. He's going to make him the first 50.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They wanted to make him happy.
And he declined it. So when you give up $100 million in 2 years.
How bad do you want out of a place if you basically say no to 50 mil? Yeah, he's got a player option just for. No, he's. Yeah, so he's under contract for the next 2 years.
Right.
So there's nothing he can do. And next year is when it gets interesting because he does have the opt out after next season. So you still got a ways to go before there's pressure on the Rockets to make a move. But he's, like, he's miserable when he's happy. Just imagine how he is when he's not, like, not comfortable and depressed and all those things. You get nothing out of him.
No.
So just keep an eye on that situation, I'm telling you right now. And if I'm Sean Marks, I'm playing it just like he's playing it. We're good. We don't need him. We're all set. Even though deep down they know. They get him, lock it up. They get him, you start stitching the banner. I'm telling you. Team will be that good. All right, let's grab a couple of calls before we get to Blitz and Prevent. Dave and Elizabeth, go ahead, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Listen, my Jets, I'm like an NA meeting. I'm gonna start off by saying I'm a sick and suffering Jet
fan. My name is Dave, and I'm a Jet fan.
Yeah, I'm a
Hi, Dave.
Jet fan. How you doing? But you know what? I my expectations came in low this season. All I wanted was to see them score at least 20 points a game. I wasn't even thinking about the wins or the losses. I just wanted to see some offense. Because last year, when the quarterback, when he was out with Mono, I think we scored like 6 points in like five games. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they didn't fire him yet, Gase. I want his resume to be so terrible. If anyone touched this guy after this, they need to go and get fired sooner they hire him.
That's a question, you know, Dave, and thanks for the call. That's a question, I think, when we were talking to Tannenbaum. Or was it after we were talking to Tannenbaum? Did you say it? Like, where is he ever going to coach again?
He can only be a quarterback whisperer. He can be, like, head coach.
How? He couldn't develop a quarterback who everybody thought had the chance to be, you know, an exceptional quarterback at this level, and he hasn't done it with him.
Yeah, you're right.
So if you can't get Sam Darnold to play at a high level in 2 years.
Yeah.
Then how do I and obviously Tannehill's been better since he left playing for you. Then how can I trust you with a young quarterback? So I just think you'd put him on a team where you have vets.
Tell me this controversial figure, brilliant mind.
Oh boy,
what do you think about Lane Kiffin?
He's trying to get right.
He's
trying
in Florida
to get
Atlantic. He's in Florida Atlantic, right?
He's trying to rebuild as best as he can. You're right. He is controversial,
but he's brilliant mind.
Would you into the league, into the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you think.
I think he'd come running for the money. There's no question.
Yeah, you're thinking about all these places where you know these young minds can come. I mean, for me, I always say Dallas. If they decide to go away from McCarthy, I mean, you want to see if you can get.
Are you talking about head coach?
Yeah, he's crazy, but no. I'm just saying. No. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's ever pushed Nick Saban's buttons as bad as this dude. Think about what Al Davis said. You know, but it's crazy, though. What's the kid down in Oklahoma? I forget the defensive.
Lincoln Riley?
I mean, Lincoln Riley? Like, I mean, because you have to prepare yourself that if.
Kiffin, by the way, is at Mississippi now.
Oh, man,
he's at Ole Miss.
Jeez, he's everywhere.
Yeah, no, he's at Ole Miss, and he got 4 million reasons to stay there a year.
Yeah, never.
And I don't. Yeah, no, he moved on from Florida Atlantic pretty quickly. He's back in the game, but and I believe that. Yeah, I'm just going to go no on that one.
What about Lincoln Riley?
I think Lincoln Riley's job to have would be Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would be his job to have. That Dallas would be the most obvious place for him to go.
But with Trevor Lawrence.
New York, not so much.
But Trevor Lawrence, the type of offense that he would like to run.
I need to know if they have a relationship. Like, if they have any type of relationship, like, did he recruit him? Did they have
anything? No, it don't have to be a relationship. What I'm saying is what he does out there in Oklahoma can be modified to fit Trevor Lawrence is basically what he does.
I got you.
With Dabo.
Kingsbury and Kyler,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Could we get that type of synergy?
Well, we shall see. But you know what? We've got games to talk about this week.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, we do. So let's get into it right now. You ready? We got four games to break down.
Let's do it.
On Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right, now let's keep in mind, because this is another weird week with scheduling, we're only focusing on Sunday's games. We got some good ones after the weekend, of course. Monday, you've got the doubleheader. You got the Washington-Pittsburgh game. And then you got the night game, the Monday Night Football game, which is Bills-Niners. Then Tuesday, Cowboys-Ravens. That's all because of last week's COVID adjustments. So we'll get to those games when we get to next week, when we get to Monday. But right now, let's just focus on the Sunday games. Okay, so here we go. First game, Jaguars at Vikings. Jags are 1-10, as we mentioned. Vikings 5-6. After their good start, they've kind of leveled off. 1 o'clock kickoff. Vikings are favored by 10. All right, so you know why we're focusing on this game, right, Bart?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's go, Jags. Let's go. Every game is critical. Mike Glennon is named the starter after he had a competent performance last week in a losing effort to the Browns. Gardner Minshew's healthy and available, but Minshew mania has been put on the shelf. Jacksonville clearly believes that Glennon, as coaches always say, gives us the best opportunity to win. In fact, that's exactly what Doug Marrone said, just not with that accent because he's from the South.
You sound like a college recruiter, man.
We think he gives us the best chance to win.
Make him understand.
But Marrone did say that. Win what? The number one pick? Is that what you're trying to win? Because just as hard as we're rooting for Jacksonville to win just one more game to eliminate them as a threat to the tank for Trevor train, they're hoping the Jets find a way to get a dub and create the tie that goes to them and they get sunshine. By the way, how about the career of Mike Glennon? Listen to this. He's 30 years old. He's on his fifth team in eight seasons. He's appeared in only 30 games, and yet he's made over $30 million in his career. That's a hell of a run, kid.
God bless America.
God bless America. All right, anyways, Blitz of Prevent. The Vikings are obviously the better team, and they have Thielen back, and they're still playing for a wildcard spot. But still, this game's at 10 points. Is begging me to take Jacksonville, or am I just picking with emotion right now?
You're not, man, because Jacksonville, you know, played well the other week. They have a young running back that played well. I think he ran for, like, against the Browns, I think he averaged like 5.8 yards a carry. Mike Glennon can play well in spurts. He's a big quarterback with a cannon for an arm. He's a deer. It's stuck in headlights, though. But the thing is, you think about the Vikings. I thought the Vikings were trying to concede the season once they traded Yannick Ngakoue. Right. Why would you get him? No need to trade him, you know, to the Ravens for picks. So the Vikings are playing a lot better. Kirk Cousins is playing a lot better. It's not a primetime game, so that means Kirk Cousins is going to be an all-pro. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't be surprised if they lose this game because they play up and play down in the competition sometimes. Ooh. And the Vikings are so inconsistent.
Yeah, now you're teasing me. Now you're making me think.
Dalvin Cook's a beast, though. He's trying to go for that scoring title.
Yeah.
I mean, for that rushing title.
That's an interesting game. If you're a Jets fan, you always want to keep an eye on that score now because you just need that breathing room because you never know. All right, next game up. Browns 8-3, Titans 8-3, 1 o'clock kickoff. Tennessee favored by 5.5. Both teams coming into this game on a roll, Bart. The Browns have won three straight, four of the last five, and they're second in the AFC North now.
Yep.
This is their best season in a long, long, long time. The Titans have been beating the brakes off some of these really good teams lately. What they did to the Colts' defense is emasculating. I mean, let's be honest. We've got yet another battle of attrition between two teams that play that brutal running style. Tennessee, of course, Derrick Henry, who made roadkill of several Indianapolis defenders last week. The Browns have that tandem of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. You talk about them all the time. They're both on pace to eclipse 1,000 yards rushing this season. And then they get Myles Garrett back from the COVID list. So Blitz of Prevent. The Browns need this game more than the Titans. The Titans are sitting atop the AFC South. Cleveland isn't likely to catch the Steelers for the division. This game's massive, massive wild card implications for them.
No, it's important because we talk about how the Ravens have an easy schedule. And one of those games, the toughest game that they have left on their schedule, is the Browns. Outside of that, you know, it's like the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's the Bengals. So then they can find themselves in third place, which can find themselves looking outside into the playoffs. Now, they're on course, and, you know, 8-3 is good. But if you lose three or four of those last three games, you can find yourself being one of those things like, oh, we thought the Browns were for real, but they're not. And once again, it's going to fall right at the feet of Baker Mayfield, who right now has more wins than commercials, but it's pretty damn close. We know that Ryan Tannehill can when you take away Derrick Henry for a little while, he can make throws down the field. We don't know if Baker Mayfield can do that. You talk about these are the first and second rushing attacks in all of football. They do it differently, but they're both physically bruising and Derrick Henry just does it on his own. And you think about Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are amazing. So at some point, Cleveland and Baker Mayfield is going to have to make a throw. But it's definitely more important for Cleveland because they're in second place, maybe going to end up in third place. Where you think about the Titans, they're taking care of business. They beat the Colts, so they win. They beat them twice. So they have all the tiebreakers. And it's going to be hard for the Colts to catch them. So definitely Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, no question. All right, next game up, another good one, another important one. Rams at 7-4, at the Cardinals at 6-5, 4 o'clock kickoff. Rams favored, on the road, favored 2.5. 2 weeks ago, Kyler Murray scoffed at talk of division standings. Now, he's literally a miracle catch by DeAndre Hopkins away from being in a four-game losing streak. Kyler, Cliff, and the Cards need a win badly, not to just stay in the NFC West battle, but to stay relevant in the wild card standings as well. Truth be told, the NFC's so bad, it would take an absolute tailspin for Arizona to fall out. But that recent slide has to be concerning, and the Niners and Vikings are lurking, Bart. Meanwhile, Sean McVay called out his quarterback, Jared Goff. Sloppy three turnover performance in that loss to the 49ers. And Goff, I give him credit. He responded accordingly. He said, he's absolutely right. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. That's good to see. They have that kind of relationship. Meanwhile, Kyler Murray, your favorite player. Mm-hmm. He needs to stay on the run if he's going to avoid Aaron Donald. And oh, by the way, you're no longer the only radio personality that has criticized Kyler Murray.
Oh, really?
There is also a Fox radio personality out there in Arizona who has called him an imposter and a pretender, which, of course, has everybody triggered out there in the desert.
Kind of sort of what?
Yeah. Okay. So, no, a little beyond it. It took a little further. Anyway, Blitzer Preview.
Really?
Both quarterbacks have something to prove in this game, but I trust Goff more than I trust Murray.
Well, I trust McVay. I mean, both boy wonders, you think about it, is like, mm-hmm. you know, the tale of the handsome, articulate young head coaches with their little mastermind offenses. And, you know, remember, McVay was the first boy wonder. Now you think about, you think about, what's his name again? Yeah, him.
Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury. You know, the guy who got fired from USC.
Some guys
just be winning, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's one of the things, though. Like, sometimes the bloom falls off of the rose, and I think that sometimes can happen. This is a long season, so I never get excited when I see somebody playing well in a season and when everything is great. What concerned me is it looks like, you know, maybe Kyler Murray internalizes the hate, or he internalizes the hard coaching or the blame more than what Goff is. Goff's just used to it. It rolls off his shoulders. And if you're harnessing and harboring some of those ill feelings for what people say when it gets bad and not taking ownership of it and just letting it fall off your shoulders, then it's going to affect you. And I think that's going to start to affect Kyler Murray just a little bit because he's easily agitated. Not understanding that, listen, you got a pocket full of money. You're the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You're going to get paid $100 million or something in the next couple of years.
He's treated Bart in that market with kid gloves, man. God forbid you criticize him. I think it's the wrong. And you've said this. You're the quarterback. You're the leader. And this team hasn't been good in a while. They need you. You have to. So these are the games that you got to start leading. These are the games. And that's why I don't know if I trust him because of what you said about him that I've paid more attention to now. When you watch the huddle and you watch everything else, is he a leader? Or is he just a really good, you know, a really good athletic player? And Goff has to step up as a leader of this team because, boy, that'd be a big win also for the Rams and where they are. Consider what happens with the Seahawks. All right, last game. Eagles, yes, I know. 3-7-1 at Packers.
Eagles.
8-3. 4:25 is the kickoff. Packers are favored by 8.5. And yes, I know it seems like we feature the Eagles every week, but this is no longer about the bumbling, stumbling NFL East. This is really about the franchise now. This is about the Eagles' stability. They just won a Super Bowl recently, and now they look like they're a mess. And while Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are looking to take one step closer to locking up the NFC North, the Eagles are in a three-game slide that has dropped them to that 3-7-1 record, and they're in third place now in the NFC East. So you have Carson Wentz, who's regressed so much in year five that the offense is basically a season low 17 points in each of the last 3 weeks. Doug Peterson now, is he on the hot seat? Listen to this. He's received no assurances, he said, from the front office, and that he's going to keep his job or that he'll keep his job for the remainder of the season. But he said he's not going there mentally when it comes to job security. He said, I've been around the league a long time, 25 years, and I believe as a player and a coach, we're always based and evaluated on our performance. And right now, that's obviously not my concern as far as the decision goes. That's out of my hands. What's in my hands is control of getting the team prepared and ready to play Green Bay this weekend. Peterson did also say that temporarily giving up the play calling is on the table. And that's the first time he's ever even talked about that. But he suggested that wasn't imminent, and still, you lose another game, and really, they start to fade an already faded division, and then you start wondering, would they really move on from their head coach? So here's my Blitzer Preview for you, Bart. I want to know why we're not hearing more about Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
Why is this all on Doug Peterson? And if he does get fired, do you consider him for the Jets?
I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he's supposed to be one of these offensive masterminds. You think about this Andy Reid tree. He was with him out there in Kansas City when they were setting the foundation. You have Eric the Enemy out there. You have Matt Nagy out there. You know, so now people are starting to put more respect on Andy Reid's coaching tree. But it's one of those things where Howie Roseman did go out there and he went all in. They pushed all their chips into the middle of the table to win a championship. And guess what? They got it. And Philly's forever grateful that they're the first, that they were they were the last team within the division that didn't have a championship. Washington had a couple. Dallas had a couple. The Giants had three or four. You know what I mean? They were the only ones sitting there, you know, without a ring. And they got that, right? Mm-hmm. So they got that. So, like, you know, Howie Roseman going to say, well, what the hell you wanted me to do? You told me to go out there and go get the players to win a championship. We got it done. We beat the Patriots. And, you know, so this is what you get. So, yeah, we got the quarterback of the future, but the coach doesn't believe in him anymore. And maybe it was more about the players that Howie Roseman was getting
They're in a
$64 million over the cap next year.
They got old on the line. They did not replace. There's a lot of mistakes that were made there with the roster. I don't know why this is on Peterson. And I also think you wasted a draft pick on Jalen Hurts.
Okay, let's just say, okay, you did on Jalen Hurts. What about Riegler? They pass on Justin Jefferson. He's only like leading the league damn near receiving. And they got Alshon Jeffries that look like he has two uniforms on for him, a receiver set. I'm thinking he's a damn tight end. This dude jumped up and you couldn't put paper underneath his feet. So, I mean, Howie Roseman has to take credit for that accountability, but the ownership got what they wanted, so Lurie and them got it.
Oh,
so
I get it, but why? Again, you're not getting him assurances?
Carson Wentz is going to be there, so that's the problem.
He has to.
If he don't like Carson Wentz, and he's throwing Carson Wentz repeatedly under the bus, he didn't defend him when Brett Favre said something, then he had this whole little wordplay thing, well, we'll see. Well, if you're that insecure, so you know what? You go, because we owe him. Right. He got a $50 million cap hit if you cut Carson Wentz.
So he's not going anywhere, so all right, so just quickly then, would you consider him for the Jets if he does get fired? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. He said begrudgingly.
I can't believe this dude is jacked like he know why Andre 2000.
Why do these kids do this, by the way?
I don't know. They clout chasing, man.
That girl, Billie Eilish, like, said, I'd never heard of Van Halen.
Like, come on,
and
man.
People got all mad at her about it.
Are you kidding me?
She's a kid. And everybody like flipped out about it. Now, she's a kid. I get it. But for her to like it's one thing to say I'd really never heard their music, but have a little bit, just a smidge of respect to at least say it.
Listen.
Without making it sound so dismissive. I don't know. I never heard of them.
Right. It's all me. I wasn't inspired by nobody. See, that's why I love sports. Sports don't do that. Sports honors their legends.
Yes.
I mean, music and actors don't. Like, what are you talking about? Like, where'd your inspiration come from? Who told you to lace them up?
I think great actors reference other great actors, though.
Yeah, with these new little whippersnappers, you never hear them.
Yeah, it's a generation. I'm telling you, it's a generation.
Beastie Boys, you never
100%
hear them
generation.
Like, what are you talking about? Like Pac? Like, it was a dude that was honoring Biggie, and he didn't even know the words. Like, what? How the hell are you going to be saying he forgot the words singing with Lil' Kim on an award show and he didn't even know the words? How the hell you don't know Biggie words? You in a rap game. And he considered maybe one of the best lyricists of all time. Do your damn homework. To be able to get where you want to go, you got to know where you came from and where it came from.
I don't know why it's an attitude now that is really starting to happen, which has become like, you know, well, we just do it better than they do, so I don't want to give them any respect. Like, I don't want to feel like, you don't want to feel like you're on the come up. I'm already there. Or what I'm doing, you never did. Who was it, too? Who was the other dude that also was talking about, oh, man, what was, we just talked about them. What are they? Oh, man, we just did this. They were, like, killing old, like, 90s rap, making fun of it. Like,
Booty Mop.
You know who I'm talking about, man.
No, I'm talking about E-40. No, I'm talking about Rasheed Wallace. I definitely don't listen to no E-40s.
It's not that. It's definitely Friday, because you and I both are just screwing up references and forgetting names, but not worth it right now. No question about it. All right. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and the Michael K. Show holiday broadcast is back. This year, we're giving you a chance to hit the airwaves with Michael, Don, and Peter with your holiday hot take. Everyone's got them, so fire one off for your chance to win some holiday spending cash and your way on air during the Michael K. Show holiday broadcast on Wednesday, December 16th. Dial into the holiday hot take hotline right now at 347-974-ESPN. That's 347-974-3376. Leave us a message with your best hot take. Four winners will each score $250 and a shot at the spotlight during the show with the biggest names in sports. Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. All right, Bart, let's see. Time-wise, how are we looking here? Yeah, let's get right to audio files.
The audio file.
All right, so We said it yesterday. We briefly talked about it, but Anthony Davis also signed his extension now with the Lakers, so he's locked up for next 5 years or after next year, 5 years, like 190, I think that the number was. He's there. LeBron locked up with his extension, and now with the gang back and some new pieces, including Trez that they took from the Clips, they got a little bit younger, too, with Dennis Schroeder. They like their group, and Anthony Davis believes, just like LeBron said, they have a chance to do it again. Run it back.
I'm very motivated. I want to do it again. When we won a Western Conference Finals, Ron said, just wait till you win a championship and you hold that trophy. You know, your love for winning just grows. And ever since holding that trophy, I just want to do it again. You know, you want to hold that trophy over and over and over. You get addicted to winning. So I want that feeling again. I want to be able to hold that Larry O'Brien trophy again and you know, become a meme where I'm crying and people are using it for everything. So those are good memes. So I'm ready to get started again. I'm ready to get with this group of guys and get back to work to be able to, you know, hoist one of those trophies again.
I mean, they're talking about it. They're putting it out there. They're not even trying to duck away from it. Oh, well, you know, everybody's got to play hard. No. We want to get another title. And I'll tell you what, Bart, here's why you're extra motivated. This title, while it's legit, doesn't feel like a title when confetti's coming down and there's nobody in the building.
Yeah, no bubble, yeah.
Like, you want to win one with Staples packed. And by July, you could have a packed Staples, you know, and you could raise the trophy then. So I think that's got to be the motivation of the full championship experience and, of course, win another title. Do you think they can do it, though, Bart?
Of course. I mean, they're going to get minimum resistance. I mean, I think right now, if you had to say what team would you trust to maybe be there at the end, I would maybe say the most I have confidence in is maybe the Denver Nuggets. It's a team that I maybe have the most confidence in, being able to kind of maybe, you know, give them, you know, take the next step. They got beat by them before. See if they can take the next step. I mean, the Clippers, maybe. I mean, didn't they go get Nick Batum? I don't know what he's able to do as far as adding, you know,
stay healthy.
Adding on. Yeah, I don't know what he can do, but they're trying to reload and go get Serge Ibaka, but I still don't believe in that team. The team I had the most confidence with maybe giving them a run was the Golden State Warriors, but without no Clay, I don't have that anymore. So that's why we need Harden to go balance the scales, because then if you have those two matchups, you got New York and you have L.A. I don't care if it's not the Knicks, it's still New York, L.A., and that's how it'll be sold. And you talk about the cross-country flight. You know, you think about pack houses, you talk about the black versus the gold, you know what I mean? You talk about that type of selling that symbolism, like the urban hip-hop Basquiat over here, and then you got the Showtime. Well,
the KD versus LeBron finals.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's...
LeBron, and so and that would be KD's third, and he would tie LeBron.
No.
The LeBron got four titles?
Yeah.
Damn it.
You said that with such a smile on your face.
KD got three.
Run
two,
that
KD
back.
Got two. KD got two.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, he'll close the distance.
All right. Close the distance. That's all good. But NBA season starts pretty soon, and we'll get to see these guys actually in action and see what these teams look like. But the league looks a little bit different this time around. Meanwhile, the NFL is going to look different in a couple of weeks. And the Seahawks might also look different, as Josh Gordon has been conditionally reinstated, but not until the last 2 weeks of the 2020 season. And that's according to the NFL announced this yesterday. So he's allowed to begin his COVID-19 testing Friday, and he could join the Seahawks if he tests negative and be part of meetings and workouts and strength and conditioning. But he can't practice, travel or with the team or attend games until December 21st, which is week 15. Gordon's happy to be back again, and here's Russell Wilson on the addition of Josh.
You know, I think the thing with Josh is that, you know, he's an amazing receiver, a guy who's great last year for us, made some great plays. Obviously, he's been a great player over his years, you know, and all that. But I think more than anything else is it's a testament, hopefully, to just his growth, you know, and in life. You know, you always want to see people, you know, overcome and, you know, overcome challenges and everything else. So the great thing is we're a great football team. We're 8-3. We got some great receivers. To add another great receiver, like, you always want to continue to build your football team. That's the reality of just professional sports. But, you know, so I think he'll make some key plays for us, and we'll see how he does.
Another chance, Bart. Does it work this time?
I mean, I don't know how many more opportunities you want this young man to be able to receive. You think that maybe that's a comfortable environment in which he can flourish. I know he says, again, that he's, you know, exercised those demons. You know, whenever you have addiction issues, I mean, rock bottom, you don't know when somebody's rock bottom is their rock bottom. But you're hoping, you're rooting for this kid outside of, you know, just sports. You just want him to be okay and be a functional member of society. You would think if any team can do it, it'd be one that's like this, the Seahawks, that, you know, have taken some off-brand, colorful personalities in the past. And he definitely can help him. Remember, before Metcalf was a freak, Josh Flash Gordon was a freak.
Yep.
He was the guy that was 220, that was, you know, leading the league in receiving and only playing 14 games, going against, you know, with Cleveland quarterbacks. If he's on, then that gives him just another big body to throw the ball to and creates another opportunity for Russell Wilson to put one of those moon balls up. So, I mean, it's definitely something that, you know, you had anticipated because you heard rumblings about this. And if he's right, that just makes him more formidable. And that's what I said. I said that Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks are the team from the NFC that I trust the most because I think they're figuring it out a little bit on defense. But Russell still can put 30 points on anybody.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the Giants have to worry about, obviously, this weekend. All right, last but not least. So on Fridays, Bart is one of the stars on ESPN's TV in the morning, and Get Up being one of them. His regular appearances on Get Up each day, each Friday, you can check him out there for sure. You and your former teammate Mark Sanchez, both together on the set. And this was an interesting conversation because you guys were talking about the Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts dynamic that I've talked about as well. We've talked about it this week. And Mark Sanchez says that he's got similar experience to it, brought this up, and then he brought up his experience, and you jumped in and said, obviously, you're that guy that says things that we all think and says things that we maybe are hesitant to say. You're the habitual line stepper, and Mark Sanchez, in this moment, you could tell, let you go ahead and say what he knows he can't say. Take a listen.
Bart remembers this too, but we did this with Brad Smith. We ran a lot of Wildcat. We had a whole package for him. We also tried to do this with Tim Tebow. And the differences there were, you know, the guy that goes in for the quarterback, Taysom Hill going in for Drew Brees. As long as that person, you know, isn't infringing on that starter's real estate to like take that starting job, then there's no issues. We know this is a gadget thing. We work on this. We are dedicated to it. We worked on it in the offseason, you know, ad nauseum, really. And the idea was this is going to help our offense, our rushing attack. And it did. When Tim came in, we didn't spend nearly as much time on task, and it was nobody's fault other than the coaching staff, really, because it's not Tim's fault. He's coming in doing everything he can. I'm going in doing everything I can to be the starter. And it didn't help either of us because now this other guy coming in is kind of infringing on the starter's real estate, and that's just the situation, right? It's nobody's fault. But right now they drop Jalen Hurts, and he comes nobody's in fault. To do some of the same things that maybe Carson Wentz does. Now you're sending mixed messages, not just to Carson Wentz, who's, you know, at this point a little fragile, and the entire team, the organization, the fan base. Nobody knows what's going on. So if you're not really practicing that, if you're not dedicated to that, and he's coming in to throw a quick out, what is that?
Let's just take the gray out, Mark. Tim Tebow was coming. He believed that he could take your job. Brad Smith understood that his role was to be a part of the offense, not to be the offense. So it was the fact that when they brought in Tim Tebow, he didn't realize that he was coming in to replace Brad Smith. He thought he was coming in to replace you. So it was an uncomfortable situation because Tim saw himself as a starter when you were the starter and the unquestioned leader of the team. And Tim just messed it all up.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, first, Greeny the Jet fan was like, Tim works for us. Mark's like, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. And you're like, I did.
And Bart,
that's essentially what happened. You were there. You saw.
Listen, I was from the other side. Like, Tim thought that he was a star. He had just as many people at his locker as Mark Sanchez had. He was a backup quarterback. He thought he was going to come in, wait for Mark to struggle, be able to get in and make that controversy, and it made it uncomfortable. Because, like, listen, man, we had a good thing going over here. We've been to two AFC championships in a row, and, you know, we're trying to get to a third, but you don't want to play your role. We missed Brad Smith. We admitted that we let him go, and it hurt us. You know what I mean? And we missed that part of the offense. We want that back because, you know, Tim Tebow had just beaten us the year before when he only completed like 9 balls, had like 1 first down on a Thursday night, and we lost the game because he made 1 play on a 0 blitz, and we ended up losing that game. So, you know, I thought that maybe they got their eyes got a little too big for him. Say, ooh, wow, that'd be great for him to come in and replace Brad Smith.
That rainy day when he jogs with his shirt off.
Thinking he, what's the dude, Dable Hasselhoff, you know what I mean? Like, oh, what, the cameras are watching me? Listen, I know people think that, you know, we did it for TV purposes, that we slowed the camera down. No, he was running like that in slow motion. That's how he was running. He was doing that in slow motion because he wasn't secure. He didn't think, he didn't know, in fact, that if the regular cameras would slow it down. Like, come on, Timmy.
Well, it is what it is, but that was a reality of that season, and we saw it. And
I'm all the way too real, man.
I know, but that's good because Mark was trying to like talk about how it was nobody's fault, and you're like, no. That definitely hurts. And I thought it was a really, really good segment by you.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, let's go with week 13, and we've got to pick the locals, and then we each get, it's what we do all the time, and then we each pick our game that we go from around the league. It's been a while since we've had Jets and Giants same time on a Friday, so this is good, so we get those two, and then we got our own picks as well, and it's not going to be easy this week, I'm telling you. This was a tough one for me. Record-wise, I suck. So Jets and Giants. Let's go Jets first, Bart. Jets, again, hosting the Raiders. The line is 8.5 in favor, obviously, of the Raiders. Complete disrespect for the home team Jets. Just kidding. I have very little hesitation here. Laying the 8.5 and going Vegas and just rooting for another L for Gangrene. You?
That's good looking, man. Like, listen, I don't care what the spread is. I know you're going to have a pissed off Raiders team that's coming in that has playoff aspirations. They're a physical team. I think they're going to come out. They're going to do what they have to do. Derek Carr's been playing great. You know, you talk about the blemish on the Kansas City Chiefs record. It came at the hands of that team. And Darren Waller is one of the best young tight ends in the game. So I think that they come in, they get it done, and it's no slight to the Jets. They just don't have enough people to be effective. Now, that defense for the Raiders isn't great, but I think, you know, 8 points, I think they'll win by, you know, a couple scores. I think it can be tight for a little bit. I hope Sam Darnold doesn't struggle, but I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, it's sad state. I will watch the game. You have to.
Yeah,
you'll be on SNY.
Yeah, contractually obligated.
Giving away those Fs. All right, Giants at Seattle, a game we led with today that we talked about how it's a really interesting game for the Giants. The status of Daniel Jones, even though he's going to try to go through practice today, and we don't know yet. So because we don't know about Daniel Jones, to me, it creates now a dip. This is one I would normally stay away from this because of the unknown, but because we have to pick it. Right now, it's Seattle laying 10. They're home, and I got to go with Seattle because of the unknown. I don't know if Daniel Jones can play, and without him and Colt McCoy, I can't believe that offense can keep up. So I have to take Seattle, even though my heart wants to say the Giants are going to keep this close and possibly could win if Daniel Jones is playing.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take Seattle. I don't care if it was 12, 20. I just think, you know, traveling all the way out to Seattle is like the farthest distance of any location you can go from the East Coast. You know what I mean? And it's a tough place to play. I know it doesn't have fans in it, but just to travel on your body, trying to figure it out. Now, I understand, especially without, you know, Daniel Jones potentially being there, Russell Wilson's back on that groove. He's back on that MVP type of grind. And so great players have this thing where they understand when it's winning time and they start to lock in. You see a different level of intensity and preparation, and I think that's where he is. You know, so I think that Russell Wilson's going to try and make a late push for the MVP. I know Mahomes kind of took it over. Russ was leading it early on. You know, Josh Allen's leading it early on. I think that Russ is going to come and say, hey, man, I know I've never gotten an MVP vote before, but guess what? I'm doing something special over here.
So, again, that game frustrates me because of the unknown. Okay, so those are the locals. The game I'm going to take, Colts Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Colts on the road, and they're given 3.5. I'm taking the Colts here, and it might seem like that's an obvious one, but I'll take the obvious.
Yeah, no will.
Because what happened to them last week? and they were embarrassed.
Yeah.
Embarrassed.
Who's your
and
dad?
They're not made of a type. They're not. You could tell the type of team that is. That is not a team now that will wallow in this. That you could tell that that's a game. They couldn't do anything with Derrick Henry. There were a couple of mistakes that were easily fixed. The Texans have been playing better, but still, that Colts team is a tough team, and they will bounce back, and they know they need this win. It's a very important game for them. So I'm taking the Colts on the road. I'm giving the points, and I'm going to enjoy watching this because the Colts are going to bounce back in this game. Firmly believe on it.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's a smart play. Deshaun Watson, 24 touchdowns, only 6 turnovers. He's one of the best players, and nobody's going to get an opportunity to see because nobody cares because they suck everywhere else outside of him. No Will Fuller as well. So, you know, going in down there, I think you're right on point. What the game I'm going to take the Saints versus the Atlanta Falcons. I know you're like, oh, Bar,
you here you go again.
You won't give up.
You
give
just,
up
you
the
just
Falcons
want
to, train.
You just this want is, more wings. You're all about the wings. You're Magic City.
Give me the lemon lose. Give me the lemon lose. I tell you what, like, it's just this Atlanta team frustrates me, but they're playing well for their coach. And we talk about Eric Enemy going there. I think that you look at it, the fact that they might keep Raheem Morris, but you look at him. Taysom Hill threw the ball 9 times last week for 78 yards. I'm not concerned with that. I don't care what the points is. I think that they'll be able to cover because I don't think that you can continue to win that way, especially if Matty Ice is on and he's able to hit some of those receivers. So I think that, you know, I like the Falcons, man. I think I'm going to go with them for one last time. Let it ride.
All right, that's our picks for the week, and we'll see how we do. Again, like I said, there's some good games Monday and Tuesday as well, so we'll break all that stuff down on Monday. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, it's been an interesting week. Once again, we hope we can get through these games without any more COVID issues, and the NFL tries to get closer and closer to the playoffs. And, by the way, week from today, Bart, NBA preseason begins. Another sport now jumps into the fray, and we can see how that league does as well. So have a great weekend, everybody. Bart, see you Monday.
Holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.